A humanitarian disaster turned into a political spat. France and the UK criticize each other for the deaths of dozens trying to cross the English Channel. But beyond this blame game, what would it take to stop such a tragedy happening again? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. Britain and France are blaming each other for the deaths of at least 27 people in the English Channel. 17 men, 7 women and 3 teenagers died on Wednesday when their dinghy deflated. It's the worst disaster in the water since the UN began collecting data in 2014. The deaths have worsened relations between the UK and France, who are already at odds over Brexit. France cancelled a weekend meeting with British officials in protest against a letter made public by Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The UK government had called on France to start taking back all migrants trying to make the crossing and accused it of rejecting an offer to conduct joint marine patrols. But French authorities say France is only a transit country for many migrants, and they blame British employers for encouraging illegal migration by hiring undocumented people. Andrew Simmons reports from the French port city of Calais.
Rescue boats are on patrol less than 24 hours after the tragedy. There's surveillance from above. Police are using beach buggies. And what passes for normality in Calais, migrants and refugees being escorted to buses bound for some sort of shelter.
Our police are mobilised day and night, not only yesterday or the day before, but they have been from the very start. They are on our external borders. Never has France had as many police officers and at times soldiers involved in the fight against illegal immigration.
This is about addressing long-term pull factors, smashing the criminal gangs that treat human beings as cargo and tackling supply chains.
All along this part of the French coastline, more than 50 kilometres of it, there are spots where, in secrecy, people smugglers arrange the sudden boarding of small inflatable boats. It's happened before, and it's still happening. These images were filmed on the same day as the migrants died. People intent on getting to the UK, no matter what the risk.
It's hard to imagine the level of desperation for these people in braving these seas to cross the English Channel. But they're doing so in their thousands, and the numbers are growing. This year alone, 25,000 have made the crossing. That's triple the number of 2020.
For many of the people arriving in Calais, this is where they're given help. Caritas, a charity, tries its best to persuade people not to make channel crossings, warning of the hazards. Most of the time, they fail. They don't just blame the people smugglers, they blame governments on both sides of the channel.
Even after what happened yesterday, people will try again. So it's really time to change politics here. It's really time to change the situation and to open safe and legal routes, to let people, to cover basic needs when people are here and to let them settle in France as well.
The British and French governments often blame each other for the problem getting worse. Once the rhetoric dies down, though, there is some hope that Wednesday's deaths could bring a new level of cooperation. What was intended to be a new beginning was a tragic end for the men, women and children who died in the English Channel. How many more may have to die before there's an increase of humanitarian moves to help these people, instead of politically motivated actions on both sides of the English Channel? Andrew Simmons, Al Jazeera, Calais.
Attempts across the English Channel have increased since last year. Nearly 26,000 people arrived in the UK this year. That's 3 times more than last year. Earlier this month, a record 1,185 migrants and refugees reached the southern shores of the UK in a single day. Before the disaster on Wednesday, 14 people drowned, this year trying to make the journey. Last year, 7 people died and 2 were never found. 4 deaths were reported in 2019. Let's bring in our guests from Saint-Malo, France, Jacques Roland, Senior Research Fellow at the World Policy Institute from Calais, France. Maya Conforti, Secretary General of the Calais charity L'Auberge des Migrants from London. Sarah Overton, researcher at the UK in a Changing Europe think tank. Thank you all for joining us. Jack, why has the tragedy in the English Channel turned into a blame game between France and the UK?
It's just a continuation of the blame game between France and the UK. It's been going on for quite a while. It started with the issues about fishing rights for French boats. It started with also the protocol in Northern Ireland. And obviously it reached a peak this week with a terrible drama in the Channel where the English have decided to accuse the French for being responsible for that tragedy. And it's part of a guerrilla warfare on the part of Boris Johnson against the French, always the ideal scapegoat where there is problem. It distracts him, it distracts public opinion from the problems he's had at home, such as these issues and the many other issues about the bad consequences of Brexit. So it's a useful distraction. And there's nothing better when you have problems at home to find an enemy outside. And the ideal enemy, as always, is the French, which the British and the British press like to criticize. We are used to it. And it's not, the French think that's not the right approach to that issue because it's a really serious issue and very dramatic with lives at stake. And that one should actually try to focus our brains together to try to find a solution and not throw attacks at each other like yesterday, what upset the French terribly was the letter written by Boris Johnson, which was actually published on Twitter, which is contrary to all diplomatic uses.
Maya, the way the tragedy was characterized and the statements between the two key nations now at the center of the tragedy, France and the UK, they basically agree on one item, which is they put the blame on migrant smugglers and human trafficking. And there's absolutely no mention of the story of the migrants themselves or the issue of migration itself. How do you see this characterization?
Yes, that's definitely the only thing that the British and the French governments have in common is that they like to blame it all on the smugglers. You know, of course, the smugglers are not exactly friendly people, but and, you know, they try to make as much money as possible. But they actually respond to a need. And why is there such a need to cross for smugglers? It's because the borders are closed. You know, in Calais, there's miles upon miles of barbed wire walls. There's CO2 machines and cameras and so forth. And now a lot of police. But the smugglers respond to the need that people in Calais have to cross to the UK, and they want to go to the UK for the simple reason that they cannot even ask for asylum in France because most of the time they have fingerprints taken in other countries, and therefore they're not allowed to ask for asylum in France. And really, frankly, we have people on the ground and with the refugees on the ground, and they tell us, I'm dying little by little every day I spend in Calais, so I might as well take a big risk and maybe die, but at least I will die fast and hopefully I will make it to the UK.
Sarah, the British government is frustrated over what it describes as a lack of cooperation from the French government. They're basically trying to say that the French intentionally are just allowing people to cross into the UK.
I think it's a very interesting question. Certainly, this isn't a new issue that is facing the UK and France. I think there have been reports that the individuals, migrants who are coming to the UK are not only coming from France, but they're coming from other countries such as Belgium and the Netherlands. So I think it's very difficult to draw immediate conclusions on who is responsible. I think it's true that this is an issue which is historical. It's been around for many years. The UK and France have had close cooperation since 2003 with the Lutuke Agreement and a series of bilateral agreements since then. There has also been, as you will be aware, increased cooperation this year already. In July, both the UK and France agreed to cooperate more. So I think what's needed at the moment is not so much a blame game, but rather looking at the facts, seeing what the situation is, and working on practical solutions to facilitate a good outcome.
Jack, you spoke about the French anger, basically about the letter which Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, posted on Twitter, which talks about, he outlines key major areas where he says the French have to be active, the joint patrols, the more advanced technology to surveillance of the coastlines, and also the cooperation and the bilateral returns agreement, which means that if the British government catches people trying to cross into the British shore, they have to be returned back to France. Is this the reason why the French government is pretty much frustrated?
Yes, that is a big sticking point, is the idea of repatriating the asylum seekers who have arrived in England back to France. You know, until now, the British had fought in many ways what to do with these asylum seekers which arrived on the shores. I think it's about 20,000 this year, maybe something like that. What to do with them? They fought about sending them to Albania, to Rwanda even, and none of these countries wanted. To the Falklands Islands, they suggested, which is absolutely ridiculous. And actually, they can't send them back to France because, first, Britain is no longer part of the EU, and therefore the Dublin Agreement, which means that asylum seekers should be sent back to the country they got in first in the EU, doesn't stand with Britain. And anyway, we know that most, in that case, you would have sent them back to Poland, because most of them, apparently, especially in the last few weeks, have come through Poland from Belarus. And so that's not a possibility. And these people don't want to claim asylum in France. Many have the possibilities to do, but those want to go to the UK. For them, the UK is the El Dorado. And it's quite amazing that the UK doesn't try to find a political and legal solution to that issue, because it represents a very small amount of people. The UK is really, it all stems from this Brexit thing, taking back control, and we are now back in the borders. We know that immigration was a big issue. But the refugees in the UK, it's only about 31,000 last year. In France, we were at 83,000. Greece has 10 times more proportional population than the UK. So, these people want to go to Britain. Many of these people have links with Britain. And therefore, what should be the thing to work on is a procedure to send, to facilitate these people. They could ask maybe to process the asylum demand in France for the UK. But each time there was a protocol such as, I think it was a DUBS, which was meant to facilitate the entry of minors with parents in the UK. But it's only applied to 500 of those.
But this is exactly...
It really is. It's not a police solution. The French have done the efforts. They've policed. There's 40 miles of coastline to police. They have more than 600 police officers patrolling. They've increased the equipment. I mean, that won't stop them. They want
Let's
them
go
there.
Let's go to Maya. Maya, the French themselves are now coming under mounting international pressure because for what many describe as ambiguous stance when it comes to the migrants. On one hand, they dismantled the refugee camp in 2016 in Calais. Now they're saying that they're going to provide shelter. What do you think should France do in the near future to try to prevent any future tragedy?
Well, you know, there's the agreement of the Touquet that need to be revised. There's the Europe that needs to change this Dublin regulation. I must point out to Jack that when at the time of the big jungle in 2016, the French government offered the refugees who were in Calais to be able to ask for asylum in France and to have the Dublin regulation annulled for them. You know, that was part of Proposition 13, Article 13 in the Dublin regulation, that it can be given like this. And several thousand people who were in Calais at that time said, well, if I'm not going to be Dublin, then I'm willing to ask for asylum in France. So many people are in Calais. Some want to really go to UK, like you say, because of it, they have family and so forth. But for many, it's the last chance. It's not the El Dorado. It's their last chance because they cannot ask for asylum in France or in Germany and so on. So if we change the Dublin regulation, and of course it has to be changed everywhere at the European level, otherwise it won't be fair, that will change definitely things. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, what the French government does is, you know, this obsession with no point of fixation in Calais. We don't want another jungle. And so the way the refugees are treated in Calais is absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's evictions every other day. They even attack, in a sense, the associations like ours, in the fact that every month they add one or two places where we're forbidden to distribute. And they make life so miserable that people just want to go.
Okay.
So that's, you know, treating them like that does not work either.
Sarah, the French government is saying that Prime Minister Boris Johnson has to take responsibilities when it comes to this particular issue. What do you think should the UK do in the near future? Because, you know, the debate now is centred on the need for the UK to bring about more of a generous approach when it comes to the asylum seekers to the UK.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's been an issue which has been in the UK news for some time now. In terms of, so earlier this year, we saw the introduction of the Nationality and Borders Bill, which has proven to be a very controversial piece of legislation, with various people raising concerns about how its two-pronged approach opens up much more possibilities for asylum seekers to be deemed inadmissible. So there's certainly a very lively discussion ongoing in the UK about how that bill should look, around specific clauses of it. So it's very much an issue which is being worked on across all parties in the UK. There's also been interesting research that came out recently from the Refugee Council saying that about 98% of migrants who cross the English Channel do apply for asylum. So I think in this discussion, we also have to be aware of the fact that this is not just a question of migrant crossings, it's also a question of the wider asylum system in the UK, as you also mentioned. And one of the things there which really, I think, should be looked into is the processing times for applications. So in the UK, there's currently a large backlog of applications. So I think there is a need for further review of the UK's own internal asylum processing. And I think the government would argue that they are already doing that with the release of their strategy earlier this year in March, and then this bill which is passing through Parliament. But it's proving to be a very polarizing topic in the UK, as it has been historically. So I think it's really a case now of parties across the political spectrum coming together, realizing that this is really an issue of concern, not just of managing migrant crossings, but also an issue of humanitarian concern. And really should be a situation where joint solutions are being thought of and built up.
Jack, as long as the crisis continues between France and the UK, you know that in the past the Dublin III regulation was the legal framework within which the EU and the UK were going to discuss issues of migration, asylum. That is no longer the case with Brexit. What could bring the EU, France in particular, and the UK to agree on how to move forward when it comes to migrants?
What could bring the British government to deal in a sensible matter with your European Union on that issue? it will be maybe a change of political mood in Britain. I know that apparently the people are very concerned about migrants. It's made headlines in the paper for all the last few weeks. Apparently all Tory MPs are asked nonstop by their constituents, what are you doing? So they think that playing tough is right, but that's not. Everyone knows it's not a solution. The British knows it's not a solution. So one should discuss in earnest ways of processing this application. I think the French will be ready as part of the Touquet agreement to even have police officers or home office officers to process this application in Britain. And if Britain, you know, because a lot of these people are not economic migrants. They're really asylum seekers, genuine asylum seekers coming from Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Eritrea, and other people actually added to fled, especially in Iraq and Syria, a bit as a result of the Iraqi war, which Britain was such a keen participant. So they should admit that the share of responsibility, and it's a really big human issue. It covers it concerns so few people, compared to the rest of the population. And at a time when Britain is short of skills, the people who are there, these refugees, these migrants, are qualified, skilled people, speak English, they would be good for the economy. The whole point is that it is a political stance based around Brexit and the fact that the British wants to show they've taken back control, as was their famous slogan.
Maya, don't you think that Europe itself has changed? In the past, we would portray those migrants as people who are braving the sea, the mountains, dangerous places, looking for a better life or fleeing political torture and persecution. That's not the case. That's not the way they are portrayed these days in Europe. They're widely seen as people who are likely a source of threat, danger, instability and fanaticism to the European continent. That dehumanization itself of the issue of migrants is one of the reasons why we're seeing people dying.
I think that, part of the big responsible people for that is the governments, the politicians. It's not a good, sellable argument to say we should welcome the refugees. It sells better in terms of political votes to say, we must get rid of this ugly migrants. And and what's so crazy is that, in fact, Europe is a continent that's aging. Most countries are aging. There's not enough babies being born. And the economy that the rising economy that would bring those refugees if they worked, if they were allowed to stay and work, would actually help nearly all of all of the European countries. I mean, the economists talk about that, the associations talk about that, and the governments turn a blind eye because all they want is, they're afraid that they're not going to be reelected if they actually talk about that. But that is actually a fact.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Jack Rouleau, Maya Conforti, Sarah Overton, I really appreciate your insight. Thank you very much. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahbara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.